And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman, live out at Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Avs in 2 hours at 7 o'clock with the puck drop. 6 o'clock pregame with Darren McFarland. Predators game day coming up later this hour. GM, though, it is 5 o'clock, the day after a Titans game, which means three things Floyd liked, three things Floyd did not like. By the way, I do have something I know you will like.
What's that?
Apparently, Rick Pitino has filed a federal lawsuit against Adidas for outrageous conduct and conspiring to funnel money to the family of a recruit and ruin his reputation. I know you get a good kick out of that.
So sad.
Okay, three things you like, three things you didn't like. Number one thing that you, do you want to start with like or didn't like?
Like.
Let's start with number one.
Number one.
Number one thing for me was Marcus Mariota. And I really liked his pocket presence. I really liked the way he threw the ball. I liked his decision-making. I liked his accuracy. I liked everything about it. But more importantly, in my mind, was he earned the reputation of a tough guy. And I think for this team, that is important. And I don't know that anybody ever questioned it. I mean, I questioned it simply because I hadn't seen it. I haven't seen a lack of it, but I haven't seen it. Well, I think after a game like this, you look at him and you say, okay, I've seen it. I think I've heard the comments of all the other players and talk about, you know, how tough he was and playing injured and leadership and all the things that you have to have from your starting quarterback. I think he earned all of that yesterday, and that is irreplaceable.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two for me would be the second half offensive line play. I think the second half, the offensive line got to the offensive line that we was more like last year, the one we want. I think we showed a little bit more tenacity. I think we showed a little bit more want to run the ball. We saw a little bit. We saw a couple of you know, shovel passes and things that we ran that didn't work. And you saw Taylor Lewand on the sidewalk, sidelines, was mad. I mean, he was hopping mad because he wanted to just pound the ball, want to line up and just go. Let's run it. Let's put it to him. And I think we saw the effect of that and what it can do to a defense over time. So I really like their attitude in the second half.
Number three.
Number three for me, I think, was probably Tywan Taylor. See him out there running deep, catching the long ball, which is the one thing that we really don't have from a receiving standpoint. Now, is Davis going to be able to do that? Maybe, if he ever gets back. But of the veteran guys we have, we've got guys that, you know, they may end up working their way downfield. But as far as just lining up and running and beating everybody downfield, I mean, he's the one legitimate deep threat we have and I think needs to be used as a deep threat.
How about Derrick Henry not making your three things you liked?
You know what's funny is here's my three things. Look at right under Taylor.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I was wondering why Derrick Henry didn't make the list, but now it's time for the thing that the last couple of weeks has been far too easy to get to, and those are the three things you did not like. Perhaps a little tougher after the win against the Colts. Three things you did not like. Let's start with number one.
Number one.
The first thing that really disappointed me was the pass rush, especially in the first half. We have not gotten any pass rush. We don't have any consistency with our pass rush. I'm not sure we have much in the way of pass rushers, even though I know if you look at them historically and what they did last year, they have been able to get to the quarterback. But, man, oh, man, it was hard to find this week. So, I mean, we have got to find a way to manufacture a pass rush.
Well, to
number
me,
two.
Well, before we get to that, the one thing I would say is when they signed Eric Walden, we kind of wondered why they were signing Eric Walden and why Eric Walden with 11 sacks last year was still available. And now I think we have the answer to both. You know, like, now I think we know why. My disappointment now is with Morgan because, you know, I don't know why Arakpo's not getting to the quarterback. He was in the Jacksonville game, and maybe everybody in the league's just saying, look, just don't let Arakpo get to the quarterback. But Morgan and Casey, but especially Morgan, I mean, I don't even know if I heard Morgan's name last night. I don't know the last time I did hear Morgan's name. And with Casey, I mean, Casey this year is working off a reputation alone because play is not doing Jarrell Casey any favors. And I know, well, but Jared, Pro Football Focus said that Casey was the best Titan on the field yesterday. Let me tell you something. Floyd, was Casey on your list of things you liked? Though, like, how Derrick Henry didn't make the cut?
No, but I'm not Pro Football Focus. So they have, they know more than we know.
Hey, it's like Belichick said when he was asked about Pro Football Focus. Yeah. You got to talk to a smarter coach than him. Three things you did not like. Let's start number two.
Number two.
Number two for me would be, once again, the kick coverage. And I am tired of every game that we go into seeing a punt return or a kick return or something happen on special teams that creates problems, penalties, whatever it may be. If we can't clean that up with a whole group of special teams gurus, we're bringing these guys in to be special teamers, the Weems and the guys like that, and they're the ones that are getting the penalties. I mean, if they can't do any better than what we're doing, I mean, that kick return last night, 50, 60 yards, whatever it was, could have easily cost you the game.
Yeah, you just take a three-point lead in the fourth quarter and you allow the guy to start in plus field position.
Easily could have cost you the game. So I am really and it seems like every week it's something different. But I am really dissatisfied with that.
I'm with you. I can't stand the special teams. What is the third thing the GM did not like?
Number three.
Finally, for me, again, the tackling. The first half tackling was atrocious in my mind. I mean, we want to give Indy credit for running and all that, and I'm not taking anything away from them, but if we could tackle, I think those eight-yard runs would be three-yard runs. And I mean, we can the number of missed tackles on a run of 10 or 12 yards, I mean, there are three or four, it seems like, every play. We are not physical. We don't have good technique. I mean, I that is something, and that's part of the reason, again, we talked about special teams and giving up big runs. A lot of that's because you can't tackle. I mean, the tackling is very, very poor.
I'm not sure I had as big of a deal with the, with the tackling like you did. I just had a problem with the first half defense in general. I mean, they didn't cover anybody tight. They, like you said, they didn't make a bunch of tackles. I mean, I just thought that whole first half defense was not good. And then on the tackling, this is the truth, okay? And this goes back to the Casey thing about how Casey's not playing well, and he's not. Like, let's just call it how it is. The Jarrell Casey that we know is not the Jarrell Casey we're watching this year. And I don't know if he's getting too old or if he's putting, too much weight on. Or remember in the offseason they talked about him working on getting taller and whatever, or getting leaner or whatever it was. I don't know. But Casey is not the same Casey. They got two guys on defense that can tackle. They can really square somebody up and lock them down. Woodyard and Byard. And Williamson, kind of. Other than that, they don't have guys that can make tackles. They don't have guys that can make plays. And that's going to be concerning when they're not playing the Colts or the Browns. Those are the three things the GM did like and the three things the GM did not like. You did not touch on coaching in that list of things to get to. So coming up next, we will evaluate the coaching in that game yesterday for the Titans. Do not miss the UT Watch Party at Beyond the Edge in East Nashville. Hang out with Braden Gall starting at 2 o'clock on Saturday at Beyond the Edge, 112 South 11th Street. The Vols will take on top-ranked Alabama. Speaking of Braden Gall, he's out at Honky Tonk Central for the Honky Tonk Hat Trick We check in with him now. Braden, hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yep, that's right. It's back. Every single Preds weekday home game at Rippey's, Tootsie's, and Hockey Talk Central, you got a chance, presented by Bud Light, of course, to come down and win Predators tickets to the following weekday home game. So really, it's one of your best opportunities to win really hard tickets to get to Preds games each and every single weekday home game. It's a Hockey Talk hat trick at Rippey's, Tootsie's, and, of course, Hockey Talk Central. I'll be here tonight, of course, until about 6:30 or so. We're going to give away the tickets at about 6:30, just like we do each and every Preds weekday home game on the Hockey Talk hat trick. You can stop by locations, the whole thing. You got specials on Bud Light. Of course, it's a little cooler, but Bud Light still goes well with cool weather. You can also register to win a pair of tickets to the Bud Light Zone, which is, of course, all you can eat, all you can drink. I don't know what's better than that. Also, you can enter to win a VIP hockey experience as well at Hockey Talk Central tonight. The VIP hockey experience is a pair of tickets to an upcoming game, dinner for two before the game, and, of course, a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. Who doesn't want to try to ride on the Zamboni during intermission? It sounds like a blast. You should come on down. Every single Preds weekday home game, it's the Hockey Talk hat trick. We'll be here at Hockey Talk Central today as well up until about 6:30. We're going to give some tickets away, some free stuff, of course, and also Rippies and Tootsies. Again, every single weekday home game, it's the Hockey Talk hat trick. Come on down, folks.
The 15-play drive that you had, is there one that stands out, that drive that the go-ahead touchdown?
Yeah, slant 35 deuce four times in a row down there in the red zone. This where we just kept getting 4 and 5, 5 and 6 yards. Yeah, that one play where we kept running it over and over and over.
Was that kind of a feel good since you had struggled in the red zone earlier in the game, finally got the
one in? Yeah, it was. It was our guys just, again, they kept battling. They kept saying, keep running it. I mean, they came to the sideline, keep, you know, because at some point we felt like we could hit them on the run game.
Titans coach Mike Mularkey yesterday after the Titans win over the Colts. Floyd, you always chuckle whenever people that don't know football evaluate coaching. Whenever they sit there and blame coaching, because you know how this works. People will blame coaching if they lose, and they will praise coaching if they win, and that's how this works.
Right.
Now, as far as coaching is concerned, how do you feel that the Titans coaches did yesterday? Because I, for one, was a little torn yesterday. Because remember, I started the show and I said, if they lose, it's on Mike. And I said, it was Mike's job to win the game. And what'd they go out and do?
Won the game.
They won the game. But not only did they win the game, I'm sitting there in the first half watching this defense, and I'm thinking to myself, Chuck Cecil could coach this defense better than they're playing right now. But then they went in the locker room, and at halftime, they made some adjustments, and they came out, and they gave up 3 points in the second half. And on offense, they hit them with the big plays. They hit them with the little plays. You heard Mike there in the clip. They hit them, apparently, with the same play over and over again. What was that? Slant 22 deuce or whatever?
Slant 35 deuce.
What is that? Do you know what that means just by the title of the play? Or do you have to know the system to know what that play is?
No, I mean, I know what a slant 35 is. You have the offset back to one side. You've got the back behind the quarterback. You turn and give it to them, and they all go in the same direction, but they would go to the left.
Slant 35
deuce?
Right.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Because it's deuce?
All, yeah, left is usually odd. Right is usually even.
Oh, so then it would be even because it's
if it was slant
even.
34 deuce, it would be to the right.
Interesting. See, now you always learn something every day. Floyd, your thought on the Titans coaching yesterday. And Mike Mularkey actually was discussing what they did at halftime. Here's what he said.
There's a lot of football to go, and we talked about it at halftime, that got to just finish drives. That was a key. And really, talked about it at halftime, our defense needed to make some stops early. And they both played out like we talked about.
Now, that seems very simplistic, and Mike probably likes to keep things in press conferences simplistic. What did you think of the coaching last night from the Titans?
You know, I thought I wasn't really impressed with the way that we came out of the chute. We weren't as hot as I hoped. That being said, we kind of settled in and kind of held serve. After halftime, I mean, we caught fire. We were a totally different team. And I think it had to do sometimes when you're, especially on defense, you're coaching defense and you can't get the guys going. For some reason, they're just not quite there. Blitzing is often the answer, because when you blitz, everybody puckers a little bit. You know, the guys that are going, know they have to get there. The guys in the secondary know they have to do a great job in coverage. Everything is pointed out as just, I've got him, I'm blitzing here, you cover that guy, and here we go. So, and maybe it was the blitzing that helped the tempo. But I think the second half was much, much improved. The thing that I really liked about the offense was that we stayed with what we had talked about. We stayed with the game plan. And when it would have been, especially coming out and throwing the interception right at the beginning of the third quarter, it would have been real easy to say, okay, that's it. We just threw a pick six. Time to open it up. We got to go find a way to get, and we didn't do that. Mm-hmm. We stayed with it. We kept hammering, kept pounding, and it worked out for the best. So, you know, maybe this is a little bit of a lesson for everybody. Again, I think if you look at how we've won these games, and, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Indy or if it's Seattle, I think you look at how we've won these games, and they're kind of the same way. You know, it's all very poised, very determined, very focused.
Not getting a lot early, but then getting it late.
And by the time, I mean, we scored three touchdowns in, what, the last three series? Something like that. So, I mean, it's you pound them and pretty soon you wear them down. And I think that's what we did.
Especially when you run slant 35 deuce. I mean, that's the one play that.
The answer.
I'll say this. I have two things about the coaching. Number one, as far as Mike is concerned or whatever, when they went for it on fourth and short, I want to say, I forget what the score was. It might have been a tied game, but I think it was on that 15-play touchdown drive. They went for it on fourth and inches, and Marcus ran a sneak and got it. I'm sitting there maybe 10 rows up about midfield, and I said, if the coach who onside kicks to start the season because he wants to be aggressive doesn't go for this right here, then he's a phony. And if the offensive line that says they're one of the best in the NFL can't get this one inch against the Colts, then they're phony. And they both, Mike went for it, and the offensive line got it. So I was really pleased to see Mike stick to at least being remotely aggressive when at times I'm not sure he's aggressive enough. Secondly, the one thing, and this is a total criticism of Mike, and I am going to bang this drum all year long. Mike does this thing where he starts to get a little too cute with it and decides he wants to try and pin a team deep. So he'll kick it short and see if his kick coverage team can go stop him inside the 20, 25, or whatever it may be. I'm done with that. Kick the ball out of the end zone. Because every time the Titans kick it short to try and stop somebody, you know, pin them back or whatever, the guy ends up at the 50-yard line. The guy ends up at the 43-yard line. I'm not doing that anymore. I hate that. And I know that's Mike's decision. So from now on, Mike needs to give Ryan Succop, who's the most consistent player in the NFL, Mike needs to give Ryan Succop the edict, kick the ball out of the end zone. If it's not an onside kick, kick the ball out of the end zone. That's all I got. But I thought coaching did a great job of sticking with what we talked about yesterday, Titan ball. They've won all three games almost the exact same way. Titan ball.
Okay, so we said before the game,
play Titan ball.
If we win, I mean, if we don't win,
it's on Mike.
It'll be all on Mike. And if we don't win, I'm giving up on this team. This team has just had it. So now, after the game we did win, where are we with all that?
Well, I haven't given up on the team.
Okay.
So I'm not giving up.
And the coaching?
I thought Mike did a good job yesterday, except now I'm doubling down. I'm doubling down. You can't lose to Cleveland before the bye. You just can't lose to Cleveland. There is no excuse to lose to a team that is run by a baseball general manager.
See, you think you're missing
you cannot
the point here.
Lose to Cleveland.
Nobody's going to listen to that because you didn't respond to the last one. You've got to get that one okay first.
What do you mean?
I mean, you kind of blew off the, you know, well, if it goes bad, he's, I mean, you can't always be negative and go bad. I mean, sometimes.
You want me to be positive? I am positive about the coach. I'm the one.
No. You said three or four words and you said, but, and then you came on with all this other stuff. So I'm just curious where we are. I mean, in my world, if I'm going to take all the blame if it goes bad, if it goes good,
you should get all the credit.
Amen. You should be the man.
No. Beating the Colts and beating the Browns and beating the Dolphins is like brushing your teeth. We don't give credit to the guy who brushes his teeth. We never say, you know, Floyd Reese brushes his teeth every morning, but if you didn't brush your teeth every morning, and if I could smell your breath from 15 feet away, and I had to turn my head every time you were around because you don't brush your teeth, we'd all talk about you in the production meetings when you're not there, and in the office, it'll be, oh, yeah, you know, Floyd doesn't even brush his teeth. I know, my God, he's got dirty green teeth. How's he got green teeth? So you get blame when you don't brush your teeth, but you don't get any credit when you do brush your teeth. And that's the same with beating the Colts and beating the Browns. Like, if the Titans beat the Browns, I don't give Mike any credit for that. I give Mike for when they go to Kansas City and they beat Kansas City. I give Mike credit then. I'm not giving Mike credit for beating the Browns. And I'm not giving – now, look, I thought Mike did a great job of sticking to what we call Titan ball. We talked about this yesterday. Did we not talk about Titan ball at length?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And was yesterday Titan ball? You don't get a lot early, but you stay tough. You play good defense, which they did in the second half. They played horrible defense in the first half. You play good defense. You throw it when it's open, but you stay committed to running the ball. And that was Titan ball. Time of possession last night for Titan ball, 35-53 to 24-07 in favor of the Titans. Titan ball. They even, you know, went old school Titan ball, like wearing throwback jerseys. They were kicking field goals like Jeff Fisher was coaching. I like it. I think Mike did a good job last night. But I'm not giving you a bunch of credit as coach for beating the Colts. It's the Colts. And I'm not going to give a bunch of credit when they beat the Browns. Now, if they go to Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football and they beat the Steelers, then yeah, okay, yeah. Well, you know, Mike, great job, Mike. But we'll wait for that then. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Your thoughts on Mike Mularkey, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Welcome back to Monday Night Football from Nashville. Sean McDonough with John Gruden. Big battle in the AFC South. I think every team in this division is going to finish 8-8. The way it looks right now, very evenly matched. We mentioned at the top of the telecast, the winner of this game tonight will be tied for first with Jacksonville and Houston. The loser will be alone in last place, but only one game out. Is there any team you like more than the others right now as we are almost through six games for each of them?
Yeah, I like Houston because I like this quarterback. And I really like Tennessee. I think this is a must-win for the Titans. They need to jumpstart their season. And Mariota is playing hurt. When he comes back to health, the Titans are dangerous. But there's a lot of divisions that are like this right now in pro football. There's nobody that's clearly at the top of their game yet.
John Gruden, Monday Night Football crew, breaking down the AFC South. Floyd, do you agree with Gruden there? Houston, I like Houston. I like Tennessee. How do we feel about the AFC South? The Titans currently sit first in the division at 3-3, followed by second place Jacksonville at 3-3, and third place Houston is 3-3, and of course the Bums, Indianapolis, at 2-4. Floyd, how do you feel about the AFC South right now?
Again, I think I feel pretty much the way I felt in the offseason. I think it's going to – I would right now, if I had to handicap it, I'd say Houston's the best team in the division. I would say that we're probably second. Jacksonville is a scary third, very scary third. And Indy is going to be at the bottom until they get their quarterback back. When they get their quarterback back, then, you know, they'll be much better. But I think Houston's got too many things going for them right now. The receivers are healthy. They're back. They're playing great. Deshaun Watson is getting out of trouble and putting ball on them. Those guys are catching it. The defense is playing well in spite of the injuries, although I do think at a point in time, it'll catch up to him. But
especially if Clowney gets hurt again, because Clowney, we talk about Marcus being injury prone. Clowney injury prone.
Yeah, without a doubt. And so, you know, I think you look at them, they've got an awful lot of weapons. I mean, that's a pretty good program right now.
I think we have to look at this from the standpoint of, you know, your theory of 8-8. you know, the theory that everybody's 8-8 and the 10-6 teams make a couple more plays during the course of a season. What is it? About six more plays? The difference between 10-6 and 6-10 is about 6-7 plays.
Yeah, it's not many, that's for sure.
And so Aaron Rodgers makes those plays, Packers. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday who said that he doesn't think the Packers will win a game without Rodgers. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it would make sense. And so, like, I look at everybody, to Sean McDonough's point there in the little clip, and I know he's being cute. Let's start with the idea that everybody's 8-8. And so now you've got your 6, 7, 8 plays. Well, for Indy, without Andrew Luck, they won't make any of those plays. They'll lose all those games. Indy is 5-11, 4-12 without Andrew Luck because they can't even make the plays to get to 8. And so the other side of it that I guess the other side would be who's going to make those 4 or 5 plays to get to 10-6 in this division? And I don't know yet. Marcus and the Titans are capable of making those plays, but what I thought going into the season, and you know Floyd as much as I love Deshaun Watson as much as anybody ever, but I wasn't certain he would be able to make all those plays coming into the season, but now I think Watson can. The problem is without Watt, Merciless, those are the guys that also make those type of plays. So if you use the baseline, everybody's 8-8, can the Titans make those plays to separate themselves from the division? I don't know the answer to the question.
Well, I mean, based on that premise, I mean, the team that's scariest is Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got – Jacksonville has it going now. And their defense is playing off the charts. They've got cover people. They've got rush people. You know, it's going to be hard to run against them. The quarterback is going out now. And he's throwing 10, 15 passes a game instead of 35 or 40. And he's completing, you know, 8 of those for
two touches. He didn't look great, though, against the Rams the other day.
I didn't see the whole game. I don't know.
I mean, he did not.
But they lost that on special teams.
Allowing the kickoff.
Yeah, a kick and a block punt. You know, I mean, that's where, I mean, that's like we're talking about these other games later on. I mean, the Rams. By the time we get to the Rams, we may be shaking in our boots. They are good.
Talking about the Rams?
Yes.
Well, they got Wade Phillips.
But I think Jacksonville has a bunch of those guys that can make those plays. And I think a great example was, when was it, last week, that they had like 3 defensive touchdowns
mm-hmm.
on returns. So, I mean, you know they're loaded.
Trace,
I'm not sure that we have as many big play people as we're going to need, because when you think about it, who are our big play people?
Marcus.
You know, you've got the running backs.
Taylor.
You got Taylor. Who else?
Marcus. I mean, Marcus, when his hamstrings healthy, yeah, Marcus can run a touchdown. He can throw touchdowns. But, no, Adoree. Adoree would be the other big play guy.
Yeah,
that they've got on punt returns, but they won't punt him the ball anymore.
Yeah,
and now Mike's got this stupid thing where he puts out the 2 punt returners, which is so stupid because I know exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be a punt, and they're going to run into each other, and the ball's going to hit one of them, and they're going to be on the ground, and the other team's going to pick it up. It's so stupid what Mike's doing. I get it. I think it's so stupid. The 2 punt returners, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I have seen teams lose games because of that. Putting the 2 punt returners out there.
Well, yeah, but what he's trying to do is he's trying to prevent, because he's back there, everybody is kicking to the sideline.
So then you put a guy out there that can go to the other side.
You want somebody out there so you can cover both sidelines.
I know. I just hate it. I think it's stupid. Trace is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Trace?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. I just wanted to – just a quick comment, really. I just want to say how it's funny, Jared, how you always, you know, reminisce about the old days. But right now, with the AFC South, is like you just said, is everybody right now, everybody's division is in it. But this does remind me of the old days, and that's what makes it good and a little suspenseful, you know, trying to figure out the last few divisional games, how it's going to play out. And that's all I wanted to mention.
Thanks, Trace.
And he's right. You know, I mean, it's going to get down just like we've seen in the past. After the bye for us, you know, you get into the second half of the season. You get into November and December will determine, you know, who's going to the playoffs, who's going to win the division. And that's, you know, we've been preaching that for years and years. And it's going to be bigger and more important this year than it has in a long time.
The only thing that doesn't make this feel at all like the old days with the Titans is in the old days they could actually sack the quarterback. This team wasn't even breathing on the quarterback last night until the second half. And Brissett, what do you think of Brissett? Because I think he's pretty good. I mean, watching him last night, and you see he's big and he's fast and he's
athletic.
He's a second-year guy. Yeah. But, I mean, I think Brissett can be a backup in this league for 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to – I mean, you've heard the talk that John went through about changing systems and learning systems, and that's – for some guys, that's really, really hard.
Would that be hard for you? Like Mike said that one play in the press conference, slant 35 deuce.
It wouldn't be hard for me because I have been through so many of those. But if you have spent, like in his case, the first part of his career at New England, and all of a sudden you're leaving that system after 2 years and going to your first change of system, and it's Indy, and as far away from New England as you can probably get is Indy, it would be hard. And that's why you've heard it. They were talking about, you know, word association, and what happens is, you know, they'll have a play, the name of a play, whatever it may be, and he has to think to himself, okay, that is not this play. It's really this play. But he has to think that way through the whole process, which takes forever. It's awful.
What, like, give me a name of a play call in New England. Like what a New England play is, and then give me a old Titans play.
Well, it's not the name of the play so much as it is, for example, you'll say on defense, you'll say, okay, we're going to run
Eagle.
No, well, you could go. But it would be like 3-4 blitz dog, one zone. Okay, well, that means a certain thing to you. Well, if you go to the next place, exactly the same defense might be called purple, or it might be called Sam Will One Free. And so what you have to, when you hear it, you hear Sam Will One Free, and you're going, okay, wait, now that's the old. And so you have to go through that whole word association. Once you get that straightened out, then you're okay, because most of the defenses are the same, are very, very similar. And same with offenses. Most of the offenses are very similar. But just because the name change, you have to spend a lot of time forgetting one and remembering the other.
I loved Brissett. I thought he looked pretty good last night, and I was shocked he didn't pick up that first down on fourth down. Floyd, we are live at Bridgestone Arena today. Preds taking on the Colorado Avalanche. That game is at 7 o'clock. Pre-game is at 6. Predators game day. Everything you need to know coming up next on Jared and the GM, live from Bridgestone Arena. Let's throw it over to Honky Tonk Central, where Braden Gall is hanging out for the Honky Tonk hat trick. Braden, what's up?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? It's a Preds home game. It's a weekday. That means it's the Honky Tonk hat trick. I'm here at Honky Tonk Central, of course, so come on down and hang out. We're going to give away some free stuff, some free Predators tickets to the Bud Light Zone. The whole thing, of course, sponsored the Honky Tonk hat trick by Bud Light. Come down and drink a tall, cool, frosty one before the Preds games. And really, every single weekday home game, it's really one of your best opportunities to get really hard tickets to really good Preds games. So come on down. Obviously, got a big one against the Avalanche tonight. I'm going to be at Hockey Talk Central. You can already hear the party going on. So come down. We'll give away tickets about 6:30 today. We'll be here until then, every single weekday home game at Rippies, Tootsies, and Hockey Talk Central. It's the Hockey Talk hat trick, of course. You can also register to win an opportunity to get a VIP hockey experience. That'll be at Honky Tonk Central tonight where I'm at, so come down and hang out. You get tickets to an upcoming game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on that Zamboni during intermission. How cool is that? I've never even had a chance to ride on the Zamboni. That's awesome. So really, every single weekday home game for the Preds, your best opportunity to get some tickets to those games, come on down to the Honky Tonk Hattrick, Rippies, Tootsies, and Honky Tonk Central. Every weekday home game, come win some tickets, hang out, drink some Bud Light, and watch some Preds hockey. Go Preds. Come on down, folks.
Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's game day in Smashville. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Predators game day live from Bridgestone Arena. Pre-game coverage in about 10 minutes. Puck drop in about an hour and 10 minutes. Floyd, as the Predators take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight. And before we get into all of our keys and everything else that comes with Predators game day, a big congratulations to our pal Chris Mason, who will be calling the game tonight after the birth of his son yesterday, Fraser Mason. We're very, very happy for Chris. And we're even more happy if you're me, because I text Chris and I asked him for his address. You know, going to send a little something over to the house. Congratulations. Said, I just appreciate your friendship. You don't need to send anything. And that now keeps me from having to send anything. So there's that. It's the thought that counts, right, GM?
He's a classy guy.
He is a classy guy. We're really happy for him and congratulations. Okay, two Predators game day versus the Colorado Avalanche tonight. The Predators, who knows how Nick Bonino and his injury is holding up. The Preds look to be without him. They've recalled Freddie Gaudreau from AHL Milwaukee. Freddie Hockey is back. Peter Laviolette today discussed what it's like juggling the lineup without Nick Bonino.
He plays all situations, power play, penalty kill. He's a centerman, so it presented lots of problems inside of that game. I feel like we've lost a centerman in almost every game at some point, whether it's exhibition or regular season. We've lost Sissons, we've lost Yarncroc, we lost Bonino. And when those guys come out, you can move the wingers around, but it's tough to find a winger that plays center. So it presented a little bit of a problem. I thought our guys did a good job handling it, but it's nice when you have the four centermen in there.
And since the Predators have placed Yannick Weber on IR and have called up Freddie Hockey, maybe Freddie Hockey will have a little bit of that magic that he had in the playoffs. Meanwhile, looking at the Predators injury report, today the Predators did not have an update on Nick Bonino. He did not participate in the Predators' optional morning skate. But good news for the Preds, and that is Roman Josi did participate today, and Samuel Girard, who had taken Josi's spot in the lineup, was on the ice with the scratches this morning. So it looks like Roman Josi will make his return, and of course on IR for the Predators, both Ryan Ellis and Yannick Weber, so that defensive core cannot take too much more of a hit. Would be a good thing for them to get Roman Josi back in this hockey game, Floyd.
It's time. I'll tell you what. It'd be awful good to get all that group back together just so they get some play time. Now, it's way early. We all know that. But you still want them to get enough time together that we don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And it seems like in hockey, that takes a little bit longer than in a lot of sports. So, I mean, it would be nice to have them all out there early just so we can get all that settled and get on to winning a bunch of games.
Speaking of early, it is way too early to be looking at the standings. And you know how I know it's way too early to be looking at the standings?
Because you're looking at them?
Because this Colorado Avalanche team that the Predators are playing tonight had almost no chance coming into the season. I mean, I had people telling me they thought the Vegas Golden Knights might actually have a better season than the Colorado Avalanche. But if you look at the Central Division where the Preds reside, the Avalanche are currently second with 8 points, 1 point behind Chicago, which means they should be in first place because Chicago shouldn't have won Saturday night because the Preds got screwed over by the refs. So, I mean, the best part was Chris Mason on the broadcast saying, I don't want to sound like Joe Homer here, but I think it was Hartman who took the stick and fired it away because that's not really legal, and I agreed. But Colorado does sit in second place. They've got 8 points on the season, 4 wins and 2 losses. Meanwhile, in the Central Division, the Predators are in fifth place. They have 5 points. Of course, they're behind Winnipeg, St. Louis, Colorado, and Chicago, and ahead of Minnesota and Dallas. I'm willing to guess that the next time the Preds play Colorado, Colorado will not be second in the Central Division.
Okay.
But it's early.
It is early.
And we have some Colorado fans here in Barrel House, so I don't want to talk too badly about Colorado. That leaves us, what are we watching for tonight as the Preds get out there against the Avalanche? GM, what are you watching for?
I am actually watching for two things. I'm watching for, one, our record versus Colorado's 5-0.
But it was last year.
It was last year. And this is the first time that we played him. And we expect it to continue. I mean, we've played pretty well against Colorado. And I think, you know, if we can start this year off good and carry that undefeated record throughout the year or at least most of the year, I think that's, you know, one of those ways you get a little leg up at some point in time. The second thing, which is kind of a little bit unique, Colin Wilson's coming back to Nashville, and it's going to be interesting to watch him play. It's always interesting when you watch these people play in a different system, different team, different, you know, wherever they might be. I mean, sometimes they light it up, you know, you listen and every time you look at how they're doing really, really well, or, you know, they're hardly playing. So it'll be interesting to see how Wilson's doing.
This might be like a playoff game for Colin Wilson. So far in the season, in six games, Colin Wilson has one assist. So he's got 1 point through six games. That's about the going rate for what we've seen out of Colin Wilson in the regular season in his tenure in Nashville. How about Matt Duchene? Matt Duchene coming to town, 3 goals, 3 assists on the season, +5 on the ice. All we heard last year was about how badly the Preds needed Matt Duchene, and I think everybody in hindsight was happy that David Poile didn't deal one of the defensemen in order to get him, but perhaps Duchene has one of those type of games that leaves David Poile tonight saying,
wish I would have.
Might have to part with Samuel Girard and Ellie Tolvanen, a young prospect who was their first-round pick this year, in order to get Matt Duchene. That I do not know. That's it for us. That's Predators Game Day on ESPN 102.5. The game coming up next. Darren McFarland will kick things off with the pregame show. And, of course, puck drop at 7 o'clock between the Preds and the Avs tonight with the voice of the National Predators, Pete Weber, for the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, we are back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Get excited.
Yeah, I'll be ready.
It's Jared, the GM, on ESPN 102.5. The game.